Hello, and a warm welcome to the Screen Time Sanity Telesummit. I'm your host, Cynthia Crossley, from Better Family Habits and Habits Limited. We are bringing you 10 experts in 5 days to help you be a screen time super parent. Today, we have Bonnie Harris, the Director of Connected Parenting, here with us. Bonnie will focus on engaging your child in screen time agreements and contracts before the power struggles begin. But let's start with a bit about Bonnie herself. Bonnie Harris is the Director of Connected Parenting and has been a parenting specialist for over 25 years. As a parent educator, professional trainer, counselor, author, and international speaker, Bonnie is known for her pioneering mind shift out of the reward and punishment model to a connected relationship. She founded the Parent Guidance Center in New Hampshire. Based on her book, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons, Bonnie teaches parent workshops and professional trainings internationally. Her second book, Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids, 8 Principles for Raising Kids You'll Love to Live With, distills her groundbreaking work into 8 key principles and practical strategies. Bonnie is the mother of 2 grown children and 3 grandchildren. Enjoy the interview. So I would like to officially welcome Bonnie Harris to the call. Bonnie, I'm so glad that you could join us today for the Screen Time Sanity Telesummit. I've been incredibly excited waiting for this call to happen. And so thank you for being a part of it.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Cynthia. Thank you for asking me.
Well, I was lucky last year, earlier this year, because I had the pleasure of meeting you when you came to London recently, and I was in a room with a number of somewhat stressed mums who were absolutely entranced by the discussion with you and very, very involved in the insight and the approach that you provided. I think many of them thought it was a bit of an eye-opener. I certainly did.
It's kind of tough for parents to wrap their heads around, even though it makes absolute sense. I think everybody is thinking that it makes sense, but it's hard to do, especially when we approach this parenting business once difficulty has begun, and then think that we need to find ways to make our children change. And change their behavior, and that's where we get trapped and stuck.
Yes, no, I agree. I've definitely, from my own perspective, been stuck in that trap quite a bit, and particularly when it comes to today's topic, which was why I was very, very excited that you are going to look at screen time and technology use from this perspective. You've entitled your topic, Engaging Your Child in Screen Time Agreements and Contracts Before the Power Struggles Begin. And I think that fits in very well with the point you just made about feeling trapped and parents kind of trapping themselves in their own way of trying to manage these issues around screen time, which are very related to just managing issues around parenting in general. So I know for me, while I tend to think I'm good at communicating with my sons, I've definitely struggled with how to really engage them in the screen time discussion, because my natural command and control side unfortunately slips out.
Yeah. I know. Well, certainly in my experience, and I teach parenting groups all the time, parents, my sense is that most parents feel powerless in the face of this digital age that has truly come on us like a tsunami. And and I think it's certainly justified powerlessness, because we don't know we don't know all the ramifications of this yet, and we don't we're not prepared, we're not ready for it, and every other day some new device is being invented, and our kids are natives, and a lot of us are not. Unless you've got very young children out there, you are probably not a native yourself. And so it's really difficult for us to get what we need to do, you know, and when is it a good time to give give our child a phone, and when is it a good time to introduce video games and all of this. There's so much fear out there, and I think fear is taking over the parenting role when it comes to screen time, and so parents are just in this reactive mode with their kids. And, you know, I think here, if we are going to allow technology into our home and give our children access, does it then make sense for us to be yelling and screaming at them for doing what we have brought in, what we have allowed, what we have said, yes, okay, you can have this? And none of us want that. And it seems to me that so many parents are spending, you know, hours every week in fighting with their kids over screen time, and using up that valuable time when they need to be making connection and the relationship needs to be always, always building. And so I think that fighting over screen time is symptomatic of the relationship of the parent and child, just as any, I will use the word misbehavior, although I will tell you why I don't think children ever misbehave. But I think any misbehavior is symptomatic of what's going on, and that's what we don't take the time to look at in our families. We don't take the time to look at why is my child behaving this way. We just want to eradicate the behavior. We want someone to tell us, what do I do to get my child to stop doing this? And the reason I don't like the word misbehavior is because we're assuming with that word that our children just want to be bad, that they just want to do one thing or another to get us, and that there is somehow something, evil is a pretty strong word, but something wrong or bad in our child for behaving that way. And in my model, I look at behavior as the tip of the iceberg. That is what we see. Our children are behaving all the time. And that behavior is what we need to use as our cue, not to police it, not to reward it if it's good, punish it if it's bad, but it is our signal, it is our cue to let us know how our child is doing internally. And if the behavior is truly inappropriate, what we would call misbehavior, then that means that my child is having a problem of some kind. So my whole focus is in switching the perception of parents from my child is being a problem to my child is having a problem. And I think screen time is one of those issues that is symptomatic of what's going on in the family. Now, there are lots and lots of issues. There are some kids, I don't mean lots, there are lots of issues, but there are lots of levels to this, too. There are some kids who you hardly have to talk to them at all, and they completely self-regulate. They spend a little bit of time on their computer playing a video game, and then they go out and play ball, or they go out and do something else, or they read, And they're just interested in lots and lots of things. And then there are some kids who have a lot more difficulty in life because of who they are and the boxes that we tend to put them in that don't fit them. You know, like, for instance, kids who have ADHD, and I'll use this as just an example, who may have a real problem in the school structure that we put them in, that we haven't designed specifically for their best way of learning, but we have designed the educational system to cover the most, you know, the majority. And it doesn't work for many, many kids at both ends of the spectrum. So let's see, say we've got this ADHD kid who is struggling, maybe brilliant, probably brilliant, struggling in school, feeling very unsuccessful in school, feeling that they can't get it. And they go home and they get onto a video game or a program and they are geniuses at it. And this is where they feel the most successful of their whole day. Now, if this kid is also not completely understood by his parents, and there's a lot of wrestling and fighting, and the parents wanting him to settle down and calm down and get off this and stop doing this and do this, then his experience with his computer is where is sometimes the only place where he feels successful. And when he's got a parent trying to rip him off that, of course he's going to resist. Of course he's going to grab for as much time as he possibly can where he feels good, where nobody's yelling at him, where what he does and what he knows can be applied in a way that he gets instant feedback that he's doing it right. Mm-hmm. And we've got to take all of these different kids into consideration.
So it sounds like, I think those are incredibly great points, and it sounds like it's, as a parent, you're almost an investigator first and foremost,
exactly,
in terms of learning to understand your child.
Exactly, yes. I often use the word detective, investigators even better. Yeah, absolutely. So we need to find out what makes our children tick. And when they are in an environment, and I believe this of all children, when they are in an environment that meshes well with them, that fits with them, they will blossom no matter what. But we are constantly putting our kids in these, you know, it's the old square peg into a round hole problem. And when we're trying to get them to change who they are, I mean, clearly we need to set limits. Kids are hugely impulsive. We need to, you know, make sure they learn the rules of society and all of that. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form, I'm not saying let your kids do whatever they want to do. What I am saying, though, is that we need to learn who our kids are and work with them rather than working against them. And too many parents are working.
You know, I find one of the really fascinating aspects of your approach in, and in some ways it seems very obvious, but I know I've been guilty of this 1,000 times, is your point that children are not looking to be bad. Who would put themselves in a position to actually have adults and other children angry at them? And yet it can be so difficult to shake that off as a parent and not to take it personally in many ways.
Exactly, and I know this firsthand. You know, my first child was that one who could easily self-regulate. He was just delightful, easy. He made me feel like the best parent in the world. And then 4.5 years later, my daughter was born, and it was like what alien has come in and taken over her body. I had no idea. She just threw me for a loop. And we were in power struggles every day when she was going to preschool, when she was like 4 and 5. Well, and the power struggles began before that. But every morning we were in this horrible fight with each other. And I realized after I had put all this together, and then I wrote my book, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons, because, boy, she was the biggest button pusher in the world. And what I realized when I looked was that when I saw that face of hers in the morning, all grumpy and her bottom lip sticking out and that whine coming from her saying she didn't want to go to school, my assumption immediately was that she was out to get me. That was my, that was the engine that drove me. My belief that she was out to get me. So it was all about, what do I have to do to make her, how could I let this little girl get me? and so I had to control her. I had to stop this. And that's where parents come from. And so then I had to learn, and I had this, you know, epiphany this one morning that is in my books. I won't go into it now because we do need to talk about screen time here. But I realized one morning, same look from her, same exact, nothing changed on her part. But I looked at her and I thought to myself, wait a minute. She's not out to get me. She's miserable. Mm. And my head did a 180-degree flip. My perspective completely changed from she's being a problem to she's having a problem. And my emotions then switched from anger to compassion. So that's what I'm trying to help parents do in every aspect of their children's lives. And we, fear gets in the way of compassion. You know, mm-hmm. She's out to get me was fueled by fear. Fear of what is she going to turn out to be like? What am I doing wrong that is raising this horrible child? All of this stuff is all about fear. Every time you as a parent get into a place where you're feeling like you want to scream at your kid, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? And stay with that until you come up with the answer. Because it's always fear of some kind. And fear keeps us either based in the past or way into the future where we catastrophize and think, oh, my God, my child is going to this and that and going to be in jail by the time he's 15. She's going to be asking for spare change on the corner. You know, we just, our fears just take over. And it's really big with screen time because we don't know where this is going. I think some of the fear is well justified, but it gets us too trapped in catastrophizing about what our children are going to turn into if they are on these games. So one of the things I tell parents to do when it comes to video games and stuff like that is to do it with your kids. Sit down with them. Get into it. If you don't like the violence in this game, sit and watch and say, I really want to find out what it is you like about this game. And I bet you, because I learned this with my son, I bet you anything, the violence has hardly anything to do with what it is they love about this game. And then you can say, I hate it when he shoots that, and but keep it from your own perspective. I don't like that. That makes me upset inside, rather than, I don't want you watching this. because this is going to turn you into a violent person. Then when our kids hear that, they just want to back off and back out of the whole scene, and they don't want to have anything to do with you controlling their time on a screen because you obviously don't get it. So
right.
We need to get it. We need to, and I don't mean get it in the same way our kids are getting it, but let them know we want to find out what they love, you know? It's kind of like with music. If your kids are getting into wild and crazy music, spend some time talking to them about it. Find out what it is they like. What are the lyrics that are working on them? What, you know, and you always can say, I don't like that, or this is why I don't like the way this game is working. You can always do that. And modeling, of course, is the most powerful teaching tool we have.
Yeah, definitely.
So you want to model being someone who is open and honest and respectful. And respectful means, in this context, respectful means being respectful of your child's agenda. If you want your child to be respectful of all the things you have to do in a day, or why you want to do what you're doing, then be respectful of them. And when you sit down and watch what's going on in this game, and maybe even, you know, try your hand at playing it, which is always good for a laugh, then you're being respectful of their agenda, you know? And it's very important that we learn to consider each other's agendas so that when you say, we have to leave the house now, or the game has to be turned off now, or bedtime is now, then even when they don't like it, they're going to be respectful of what you want. So we've got to teach that from the ground up by being respectful of them at all times. And when we threaten them, when we blame them, when we criticize them, we are being 100% disrespectful. And we don't want to look at them.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness, my pen is just flying. I feel like I'm reliving my my home experience, because just so many things that you said resonate with my experience. So the fear piece and that you spoke about, I mean, I'm able to catastrophize like no other in terms of, particularly when it comes to screen time, in terms of, what will happen to my son if he spends 24 hours a day on a screen, and he'll be destitute in the street, and I can create a scenario that is completely ludicrous, but is absolutely based on fear.
Yeah.
And I love how you then talked about to get beyond that fear, to basically play the games with your kids. And I've done that to some extent, but actually I think I need to revisit that, because interestingly enough, I was so bad at it that
yeah.
I was actually
no, we
quite,
are, we are.
Quite put off. Yes, but
yeah.
To be honest, I bet I know my son absolutely enjoyed me not being very good at it as well, in a good way, in the sense
of
he can teach me something.
Of course. I was just working with a parent, actually, in England, with her screen time problems with her child, and I said, the first thing I want you to do is spend some time with him on what he's playing. It was a Minecraft thing, and have him tell you about it and what it is that he gets from it. And she did, and this was before setting down an agreement, like a contract thing. And
right.
Because she had been like, like everybody else and had let the tsunami hit, and everything was, and now suddenly she could barely get her kid off the computer. So she did. She sat down with him, and he was so delighted to be asked and so delighted to get a chance to tell her about the game. This is the area where your kids are the experts. And how often do they have the opportunity to be the expert and to be able to teach you? And man, when they have that opportunity, they love it. And it's just great to then be able to be the student and allow your child to be the teacher about this. It's great. It's really good fodder for the relationship.
And as you say, it shows mutual respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I cannot say enough about relationship. The relationship that you have with your children is the most important aspect of absolutely anything else. So, you know, to think that we can easily get into the realm of fear when we hear that and it's all right, I don't deny it, that spending all this time on a computer is, you know, killing certain brain cells and not allowing other things, and it is certainly not good for anyone to be on a screen all day long. And I'm not saying don't worry about it. What I'm saying is that what we want is for our children to have a well-rounded experience, right? We don't want them to be on it all day long. There is actually one woman who has a son who is ADD off the charts, really off the charts, and his IQ is also off the charts. And he has a very difficult time socially and in school and all that, and he is absolutely going into some kind of aspect of the computer world. So he's like the only situation I have worked with so far where I actually think it's fine for him to be on this computer. But
well, as you said, it is about understanding the child.
It is, exactly. It's about understanding your child. And if you have you know, a very responsible kid who gets his homework done, who helps around the house, who also is into sports or playing outside or doing other things with friends or reading, all of these other things we want our kids to be doing, then self-regulation is easy for that child, and you probably don't even need to make contracts with that one. But then there are other ones who get so easily drawn in and so easily, you know, as we know of ourselves, how we can get drawn into Facebook or just spending, you know, one link leads to another. And, you know, I mean, we could do a whole program on how important it is for adults to pay attention to the devices they're on and what their children are learning from watching their parents on their devices. That's a whole other piece of it that is huge. So we've got to realize what we're modeling for these kids. But anyway, back to the relationship piece. If you have a good relationship with your kid, and what I mean by that is respectful, so you're respectful and considerate of each other's agendas. Your child, your family is kind of set up as a team so that you all take part in helping out, and kids are doing age-appropriate chores or jobs around the house, and they're taking, you know, they're doing what they have to do for school and all of that, then, then it's doing well. If you've got a good relationship with your kid wants to spend time with you, right? If you don't have a good relationship with your kid, if your child doesn't feel that he can really trust you, and I'm sorry to say that this is very often the outcome of parents who use the reward and punishment system, that you are going to have kids who don't trust you, and so they're going to get secretive, and they're going to get sneaky, and they're going to find ways to do what they know you won't let them do, and they're going to grab for stuff that they know you won't let them have. In those cases, kids are going to find their whole nice little world in the internet, and they're not going to want to spend time with you. So that's why relationship is key. If you have a good relationship with your child, if your child loves being with you because you have fun together, because you're not working on fear all the time, you're not thinking you've got to constantly be teaching your child something, but you can really be with your child and have a great time, then you can say, let's go for a bike ride, or let's go outside and play catch, or let's do something or other, and they're going to want to do it. And it's up to us to make sure that we are providing other interesting things in our children's lives.
That makes a lot of sense.
Our job to introduce nature and beauty to our children. It's our job to stop our busy lives and take our children out to explore and experience all the wonderful things there are to do off the grid. You know, it's not our child's job to be expected to turn off these highly entertaining devices and decide to go outside instead while we stay inside, either leading our workaholic lives or tied to our own devices, emailing and texting and keeping up with hundreds of friends on Facebook and Instagram, you know. It's up to us to set the example. It's up to us to get our kids outside smelling the roses and looking at all the stuff that there is to look at, going for a walk without being plugged in, you know, and listening to what the environment has. There is, I just recently read a piece, and I don't know who this was, but he was quoted as a spiritual psychologist who was giving a talk, this was in Australia, about indigenous peoples, and that ceremony throughout history has always been used in indigenous cultures to connect children to the land. And it was the belief that if children weren't grounded in nature, when they got older, they wouldn't know what to do with their suffering. Isn't that
fascinating?
And look
that
at our culture. Yeah, look at the world. Look at our cultures. Look at the suffering that people are doing. And so every time we get into a tug of war with our kids, we're creating more suffering for both of us. You know, we don't like it any more than our kids like it.
So, Bonnie, can I ask you a question? Because I very much agree with your point about parents taking the responsibility to provide the child a well-rounded experience and something that is balanced. And I also very much agree with your point about nature. Here's a question for you, though. When you're in that tug of war, I think many parents think to themselves, but isn't it my job to tell my kids what the rules will be? Isn't that also part of me being a parent? Yes, I want a good relationship. Yes, I want to provide them a well-rounded experience. but don't I also have a responsibility as a parent to say, these are the rules, and you need to abide by them?
Yes. I say yes with some conditions here, but yes, absolutely. Mm. We are the authorities in our children's lives. Our job is to be there to guide our children in the best way we know how. And that guidance can be done the very best when we include them in the process. So that's why I think it is so important to engage our children in the discussion of any rules around the house. First of all, a household only needs three rules. They're the three R's.
Respect my pin is
yourself.
Ready.
Respect
I said my
yourself.
Pin is ready.
Good. Respect yourself, respect others, okay. And respect property. Every other rule that is a legitimate rule needs to come under one of those respect lines.
Mm.
So try, you know, check that out. See if you've
see
if you've got a rule. You know, and that means respecting you as well.
Mm.
So everybody needs to understand how important it is to respect each other. So it is your job, because I absolutely believe that children are safer, calmer, and happier when they know their parents are in charge.
Mm.
And we're not giving them big decisions to make about their lives.
Mm.
I think choices and decision making is very important to engage our children in. But when we give them too many choices, when we give them too many big decisions to make, they're overwhelmed, and they don't like that. They want us to just say yes or no. And so a lot of things, you know, we don't want to, there are expectations we're putting on our kids that they're not ready to make. So that's a whole other piece. You know, don't expect your kids to want to get off playing a game. So therefore, it is your job. So how do you conduct that job? That's the important piece here. It is absolutely your job to set limits around it and to make it, to make sure you are not being overpowered by this, and make sure your child is not gaining too much power, because that's a whole other thing. We're raising a whole culture of entitled children. But when you're making rules around screen time, which the best time to do that is just before or at the same time a new game or a new device is introduced into your home, that's the time to sit down and say, okay, we're going to now talk about the conditions of this. Or say you've got a child who's begging for a phone, and it is clearly up to you as the parent to decide when that is an appropriate time. That is absolutely up to the parent, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you, and again, I mean, I think if it were up to me, and I could wave my magic wand, I would keep kids off any kind of technological devices until they're about 12. But but anyway, as we were saying earlier, all children are different, and you have got to really know your child to know how responsible they're going to be with something. And not to, and it's not about if you have a child who you think is not going to be responsible with a phone or not going to be responsible with an iPad, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with your child when another child the same age is responsible. It just means that child is more impulsive, or that child is thinking more about other things and not thinking about what I need to do to keep this safe. It's not anything wrong with your child. It's just that kids are different. Mm-hmm. And responsibility and paying attention to what I have to do with this to make sure I don't lose it, for instance, some kids can do that at 8 and some kids can't do that until they're like 11 or 12. So you've got to don't expect that your child who's not able to do that is able to do that. And because they can't, you're going to be blaming them and mad at them when they lose it. That's the child who you need to use your authority with and say, this is, it's not easy for you yet to do so-and-so, and that's why you have a mother, that's why you have a father. Bummer, we're in charge of making decisions like this, and we're going to wait on this. And then let your child have a fit. That's okay. There's no reason they have to say, oh, okay, Mom, I understand your point. You're not going to do that. You know, let them be mad about it. That's fine. Too many parents are cowed by their children's emotions and so give in to their child's wishes because they don't want to deal with the hassle. So you've got to be strong in your convictions, too, about what you think is right for this particular child. And check it out with other people because your fears may be interfering as well. You know.
But, yeah. I mean, I agree. I completely agree with your point that it seems that today is very difficult to have confidence in some of your decisions as a parent for a number of reasons. And I like your point about, you know, if a child doesn't agree with what you think is right, to approach it with I love this phrasing, you know, you may not agree and it's not going to be easy for you to do this yet, you know, but this is, you know, I guess our approach, you could probably say it better than I can, this is what we believe at the moment, and then stepping back and letting them have their emotions. Yes,
right,
that's
exactly.
That's a perfect phrase. Yeah.
Right. That's why you've got us in your life. We've got to make sure that certain things happen that we don't expect you to think about. You see, that's how you can express to your kids why you do what you do. I don't expect you to want to go to bed. Of course you want to stay up. Of course you want to watch television, or of course you want to stay with the rest of the family because you think we're just going to have fun without you. Of course, of course, of course. That's what I call my of course mantra. It helps get our head in the right place so that we're not reactive and furious when our kids refuse to do what we want them to do. Of course, my child doesn't want to go to bed. So that's why you have a parent. That's why you have me here, to make sure that you get enough sleep, because I don't expect you to think, oh, let's see, I need 11 hours of sleep tonight, so therefore I have to go to bed at such and such a time. I don't expect you to think about that. That's my job. That's why I am insisting that this is bedtime. And however you put that, if you're coming from that point of view, rather than, why doesn't my child ever listen to me? When I say it's bedtime, and why doesn't he stop doing what he's doing and get upstairs? That attitude is only going to keep the agreements way longer from happening, you know.
Yes.
Because
no, that makes sense.
Because I'm blaming my child.
Right.
You see, and when I'm saying, of course you don't want to go to bed, even just in my head, I don't even need to be saying these words. it's a head thing. It's a mindset. If I'm coming from that point of view that, of course, my child doesn't want to do that, that's why I have to put these rules into place, then I'm coming from a whole better place, and I'm not going to get in those reactive fights.
Mm.
So that's what I learned with my daughter, that I suddenly, when I had that mind shift, I did not engage in power struggles anymore. So we never had them, because it takes two people to make a power struggle happen. And once I got her, then there was nothing to fight. It was up to me to figure out how to work with her and who she is. And let me just tell you that it was the best thing I ever did. And she is now a grown woman, and she is absolutely the most respectful, responsible, honest person. Her personal integrity is stronger than any other person I know. She is just, I am in awe of her. And she knows that if she had been brought up in a traditional way of parenting, she would have been a monster. She has said this with tears streaming down her face. She has said, I know I would have been mean and angry and a monster.
Oh, that's an amazing experience, an amazing thing to hear from your daughter, that level of honesty and self-awareness.
Yeah.
And being able to communicate with you so honestly about that.
I know.
As well.
I mean, she's amazing, and she's I won't go on.
No. We never dismiss a parent being proud of their children. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and let me tell you, for 8 years, she was a piece of work every single day for me. I struggled and struggled and struggled. And that's why I wrote my book, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons, because she taught me everything. I couldn't be doing the work that I'm doing today if it weren't. If I had just had that piece of cake kid first, my first child, nobody would want to listen to a thing I said, and I wouldn't have learned anything.
Yes.
She has taught me everything I know in the parenting world. And because I had to learn what worked for her, and because I was willing to, I wasn't in that place of she's got to do what I say because I say so. That's the type of parenting that would have brought her up to be a monster.
Right.
And
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And just one final question. I could talk to you forever, but I know this is a question that many parents have, is when your daughter, in the screen time situation, for example, if she didn't follow the agreement that you and she, you know, built together, how would you handle it, particularly without punishment and the other traditional way approaches?
Well, one thing we have not done, and I'm going to try to encapsulate it pretty quickly, is gone over the steps of making the agreements. So
that would be great.
Yeah, whether it's when a new device comes into your house, or whether it's if it is already if the tsunami has already taken over and you're now having to backtrack because you've been blindsided by all this, then you need to do a lot of convincing of your child that you want to make some agreements together, because you know that neither of you are happy with what's going on right now. And the agreements that you're going to make, you've got to make this very clear up front, that the agreements you're going to make are not you dictating what has to happen. You are going to be equal partners in this process, and nobody is going to lose. This is the premise of problem solving. And this is perfect use of problem solving, is coming up with screen time rules. So tell your kids that you're going to work together to make sure you agree on this. And then you discuss the how, when, and where conditions. If you have absolutes, for instance, it's important to me that no screen time happens if there is outstanding homework or chores to be done. That is, you know, that's, and it's much easier to hear if you start with, it's important to me that no screen time occurs, rather than saying, you can't have screens until your homework is done.
Okay.
You hear, it's a subtle change of words.
No, that's very good.
It's just a subtle change of words, but it is, the message is so different. When something is your problem, your issue, you need to own it. That is what is very important to me. This is where we're going to start. That is what I need to set down and make clear. That as long as there's no outstanding, and that may not be what yours is. That's okay. I'm just saying, if you have an absolute, state it right away and declare it as your issue, rather than you have to. And then, but do schedule.
Gosh, that's an eye opener, Bonnie. I have to say that's
really
fantastic phrasing. That is definitely an eye opener for me.
Well, who owns the problem is a big piece of what I teach. I think it is key in establishing relationships, because we're always blaming our children for our problems and not taking responsibility. And our children know it before we know it. We don't realize how we're doing this, putting off our responsibilities. That's all well described in my book that's going to be the free offer for the audience here. So owning the problem, knowing what is your issue and what is your child's issue, so we're not fixing our children's problems. We can help them, but we're not fixing them, and our children are not feeling responsible for our problems and our emotions and all that stuff. And then you're modeling real responsible behavior. But the first thing you want to do is schedule a time to sit down. And I'm saying, unless you've been here and you've done this with your kids and you've got kids who really understand this and are in agreement with you, unless you've got that, schedule a time to sit down and don't talk about rules, screen time rules on the fly. When you schedule a time, you're highlighting the importance of this, and that really needs, you're highlighting the importance for your child that you want to understand them, and you're also highlighting the importance of that this is an important issue, that we've got
absolutely
to establish this. And then discuss, you know, the how, when, and where conditions. And these are all very personal, but, you know, how long, and you might start out with what do you think is a reasonable amount of time. When you're in a situation like this, where you're not pulling your kid off the computer or the iPad, you're at a round table. You've set this up as we're going to make these agreements. Your child is going to be in a reasonable frame of mind. If he's bored, if he's resistant, that means he's not trusting where you're going. And if he's not trusting, then you've got to be more convincing that this is for both of us. This is not about dictating here. So then ask, what do you think is a reasonable amount of time? State what you think is a reasonable amount of time, and find a place in the middle, probably. So, for instance, this woman who I was just working with, who sat down and had her son teach her about this, he came up with a certain number of hours, she came up with a certain number of hours, and they found a happy medium that they could both agree on. This is called compromise. So, and at the heart of this is respecting each other's agendas. So
you're teaching bigger life skills.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want to talk about how much time, you want to talk about where. Maybe there are certain areas like around the kitchen or car time when you're driving back and forth that screens are not allowed. You know, and you might say, that's really important to me. And when you say, I really want that to happen, then maybe you're going to be a little more willing to give in another area, you see? And your child feels that. And so then they're going to agree.
Mm.
So then you look at the conditions around weekday use, weekend use, morning use, when is this all going to work out? And just make sure you cover all the bases and write down what's been agreed on. And depending on the situation, you may or may not see the need to write a contract and have everybody who's involved in this sign it and post it.
Mm.
And here's the other thing, and here's where the consequence piece comes in, because the consequence needs to be as much as possible a natural consequence. So in screen time, it's a very unnatural kind of situation. But when you make this kind of an agreement with your child, say, we are going to do this for 1 week or 2 weeks, have it a finite period of time. This is our trial period. And in a week or in 2 weeks or whatever you want to choose, you mark it on the calendar and you schedule another time to come back to it to reevaluate how it went. And if your child doesn't want to lose in this agreement, your child is going to be working hard to follow the agreement. Because the more your child follows the agreement, the looser you can get as time goes on. Do you see?
That is genius. I wish I'd known this about 5 years ago.
You can do that.
That
you
is
start it
right.
Anytime. So in a week's time, if your child has been very resistant and has not followed the agreement, now don't expect your child not to need a reminder, whether it's you, whether it's a timer, whether it's whatever it is, whether, you know, the plug gets pulled, I don't know. You don't expect that your child is going to keep track of time. If he does, frosting on the cake. But don't expect that. Expect that he's going to need a reminder and build in a little fudge room. You know, if he's just finishing up something, let an extra 5 minutes be okay, as long as he then gets off. If it's resistance, 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 I need 5 more minutes, I need 5 more minutes, then after that week period of time, and I think in the beginning you want to do it for no more than a week, then when you come back to it, you can say, what I noticed, my observation, was that this was too hard for you to agree on. Not you didn't follow the agreement. It was too hard for you. You see, big difference.
Yes, absolutely. And
so then you're going to say, let's come back to the drawing boards and let's work it through again, so that it's maybe going to be easier. So my experience was that it was too hard for you in the morning before school or, you know, something like that. And then you notice where your child has a harder time following, if he has to get off to then do something he doesn't want to do, then maybe that's a time you don't have screen time and you put it in somewhere else.
Right.
See? So it's not about punishing or blaming or threatening or giving a consequence to your child if he's not following the agreement. It's about you noticing when and where and why the agreement was too hard for him or her to follow.
Right.
And then you reevaluate and go back to the drawing boards. It's hard work, and that's what parents don't want to do. They say, I don't have the time for this. But then, all right, think about how much time you spend in arguing with your kids, in fighting.
Exactly.
In, you know, setting consequences and then having to police them.
Right.
It's so much easier when you do it this way.
Mm. Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. And yeah, as I see, as my children get older and they're hitting the teen years, it goes back to your point at the very beginning, that relationship that you established by handling it in this way, you pays dividends when hitting 15, 16, 17, and it's a bit of a different ball game at that point. Then it's completely
just
relationship and trust.
That is when you really need your kids to be self-regulating, because you are not in the same position as a parent with teens. They know they can do what they want. And so if they don't have that respect and that love of being with you, then you're lost.
Yes,
you want them
exactly.
to love being with you. So you want to make home a fun place to be, and doing things with your parents a fun thing to do. And it can be, if you just let go of fear, easier said than done, and just be with your kids. That's another one of my mottos, is teach less, be more.
Can you say that one again? Teach less.
Teach less, be more.
Be more. Oh, I'm gonna be hanging that up on the fridge tonight.
good. Just hang out with your kids and have fun and laugh and tell jokes and tease each other and, you know, be light. This is not such a heavy thing, even though it seems it. When we get into catastrophizing, everything becomes life-threatening.
Absolutely.
And the kids are going to remember, they're not going to remember the lessons, they're not going to remember the things that you told them not to do. They're going to remember the times when you had fun together.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, Bonnie, I don't know what to say. That was such an amazing discussion. I mean, in the course of that discussion, you took it from a higher level of building up relationship and how to do that and sort of setting that foundation to the really practical pieces of, you know, on a day-to-day basis, how do you have a conversation with your child about screen rules? What do you do when they don't agree with you? How do you manage it when, you know, in the natural course of impulsivity, they fall afoul of that agreement? And I think a lot of parents will get a huge amount of insight, I certainly did, from the way that you've approached this. So I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this particularly emotional topic and one that very much fills a lot of parents with fear, and yet you've turned it into a very practical opportunity to actually build a relationship with your child.
Well,
thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate that, and I really enjoy doing it, and I'm very happy to have the opportunity to talk about it.
Well, I would also, before we go, I'd like to thank you again, and I would absolutely, I want to make sure that I mention the brilliant audiobook that you briefly referred to, which is the bonus you're kindly providing to the parents who are attending the TeleSummit. And it's all about helping parents reconnect with their children and themselves. And it's an audiobook called Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids, 8 Principles for Raising Kids You'll Love to Live With. I love that concept.
It goes through 8 principles, which I think are the, once we get them, that is how we make that mindset shift. Mm-hmm. And then it all puts those principles into absolutely practical everyday situations too. So all of that is in there. But if you're wondering about how do I get that mindset shift, these mm-hmm. principles will help you do that.
Because you're right. I mean, that's the hardest piece, isn't it?
It really is.
How do you make that mind shift?
Yeah. How do I twist this mindset shift that I have been in since I was born to a new way of looking at things? And it'll be the best thing you've ever done. For some people, it'll just be a little tweaking, a little share, a little, you know, adjustment here and there. For other people, it might mean digging back into some old pain. And if that's the concern, then I would suggest going onto my website, BonnieHarris.com, and getting the book or the audio of When Your Kids Push Your Buttons. That takes you back into your childhood and the messages you learned that have created the mindset shift, the mindset that you are in now, that may be difficult, may be an obstacle to being able to shift it. Mm. So that's what When Your Kids Push Your Buttons is all about. And, so
it is amazing how much being a good parent is actually learning about yourself.
It's the most important personal growth work we can ever do. Yeah.
Mm.
When we look at ourselves and stop blaming our children.
Exactly. I love your phrase that I've heard you say a few times, which I'm trying to live by, which is seeing that misbehavior means your child is having a problem and not being a problem. I think that is so fundamental.
Right. Let me also just say to listeners that if you would like to get my twice a month newsletter that I send out with a lesson on some aspect of connected parenting, and then the second one is answering readers' questions, just go onto my website, BonnieHarris.com, and subscribe. There's a subscribe button on every page. And if you purchase the audiobook, I will also put you on the newsletter list.
Thank you, Bonnie, for such a wonderful interview and for being a part of the Screen Time Sanity TeleSummit. I just want to mention that Bonnie's website is BonnieHarris.com. First, I just want to mention that in order to take advantage of Bonnie's special offer, please go to the Sanity Kit page on our website to access the offer details. We will also send you the link in the email with the 24-hour access recording. What an eye-opening interview with Bonnie Harris. I very much liked her point about being respectful of the child's agenda and about your child not being a problem, but having a problem. I also liked her focus on creating a well-rounded experience for our children rather than just focusing on decreasing screen time, focusing more on increasing well-rounded experiences. And I'm definitely going to try this idea of a trial period for screen time rules. I think that's a very clever way to go. Thank you for listening.